The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the Kisser Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzer365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Micha Cohen.
Simon Kuf Nun Tes. This simon is a very important simon, perhaps one of the most important in all of Hilchos Nida, and it lies out for us the Tahara process. And it's how does a woman go from being Tame, ritually impure, to becoming a Tahar, to becoming ritually pure. And the most pivotal part of that is the Shiva Nikiyam, the seven clean days, which we're going to learn about right now. Now, we could really divide it into three basic parts. There's one requirement that the seven clean days should not begin before approximately 5 days from the last time the woman was ritually pure. Which means to say, let's say a woman stains for a day or two, so and she becomes ritually impure, tame, she would not be able to begin her Shiva Nikiyam, her seven clean days, until 5 days from when she started her staining. Now, what's the reason for this? The reason is a very interesting reason. It's not so well known, but it's the following. There's a concept of a Pelatas Shechvazera, that just as a man who releases semen, releases seed, his Shechvazera, so he becomes ritually impure. So a woman who had relations with a man, and that Shechvazera, that semen, is released from her body outside, I mean to say that she had relations and then some of it came out, that she also would have the same status that would make her ritually impure. Now, today, we don't really keep these halachas so much. Some men are careful that they go to the mikveh before davening, for kedusha in general, but partially for this reason as well. But when it comes to a woman, there's definitely no requirement. However, there is an opinion that says that when a woman is counting the seven clean days from becoming she was a nida, she was menstruating, which is an issue of her being together with her husband, if during those seven clean days she should release some of that shechvazera, some of that male seed from her, then it would make her virtually impure again. And that could disturb the seven clean days. So basically what they wanted is that there shouldn't be an issue of this possibility of her releasing the male seed during the seven clean days. So they wanted it to be enough time from the time that she was ritually pure that it's possible that she could have had relations with her husband, that enough time could have elapsed that whatever was inside her body would be considered it was masriach, it became rancid, and therefore it wouldn't have the status of being able to disrupt the seven clean days. So Chazal tell us that after 72 hours, after 3 days, the male seed is not considered to be viable anymore, and therefore, if a woman were to have it in her body and then it would be released, that it wouldn't disturb the seven clean days. Now, because they were concerned about maybe they would make a mistake in the hours, they added a day on each side. So basically, to make a long story short, a woman does not begin her seven clean days before 5 days has elapsed from the time that she became Anita until when she wants to begin her seven clean days. That's the bottom line. There is an exception when she could start after 4 days, which we'll see at the end of the simon, but the bottom line is that, all the reasoning aside, a woman generally does not start counting her seven clean days until 5 days has elapsed from the time that she started to become Anita. Now, there is a discussion. Let's say if a woman wasn't permitted to her husband for a different reason. Let's say it was Tisha B'Av. Let's say it was Yom Kippur. So they say that would also count for the 5 days. That if, let's say, at the end of Yom Kippur, she became a Nida, that she would only have to count 4 days because the Yom Kippur would count as the fifth day. Now, even though the couple didn't have relations, as long as they were able to do so, halachically, then we have to be, then the rabbis made a general rule that we still have to count the 5 days, But if, halachically, she wouldn't have been able to have relations because it was Yom Kippur or Tisha B'Av, then we include those in the 5 days. It could be also if the husband was out of town. There's a discussion about that already one should ask the rabbi. But the point being is that we do not generally start counting the 7 clean days until 5 days has elapsed from the time that the woman began her period. Now, many times a woman can't become clean anyways before 5 days, so it's really a moot issue. It would be more of an issue, so let's say, if a woman just had some staining and she really could start counting the 7 clean days earlier, but because of this halacha, she wouldn't be able to do so. One last point is that if a woman was counting the 7 clean days, and so she's obviously ritually impure, and then during the 7 clean days she saw some staining, she doesn't have to count an additional 5 days from when that staining began, because since she was never permitted to her husband yet, so there's no concern that she would have relations and that they would have this whole issue of the male seed. So therefore, the bottom line is that in a situation where she was already tame, which she was already ritually impure, and she was trying to become clean and it didn't work out, that she does not have to restart the 5 days. So just to stress, the bottom line is that a woman needs to make sure that before she counts the 7 clean days, that it's been 5 days since the last time she was halachically permitted to her husband. That's in a nutshell, this halacha. Now, that's part number one. Part number two is we have to establish that the period has stopped in order to begin the 7 clean days. So before the 7 clean days begin, so let's say on day number 5, right? She wants day number 6 to count as the first day of the 7 clean days. So on day number 5, she's going to have to make an internal examination to make sure that her period has stopped. That's going to be known as a bedika. That has a special status as a hefsek tara, because it's a hefsek, it's mafsek, it creates separation between the time that she was menstruating and the time that she's clean, and that should be done before sunset. And then when sunset comes, that begins the 7 clean days. And then for the next 7 days, she should check herself a certain amount of times. We'll see in the kitzur exactly how much and in different situations what one should do. And she also generally should wear at least white underwear to make sure that she hasn't been bleeding at all. And then in the evening following the 7 clean days, she goes to the mikveh and she becomes ritually pure. So again, the process is, make sure you have 5 days from the time she was last time she was ritually pure. You need it on day 5 before the 7 clean days begin. You need to do a hefsek tara. You need to do an internal examination to make sure that the period has ended. And then you have 7 clean days, which includes examinations and includes wearing white underwear at least, and that lasts for 7 days. And then in that evening she prepares herself and to go to the mikvah, and she goes to the mikvah, and then she is ritually pure. Okay, now let's start with Sif Aleph. Kol Isha, any woman, Sharasa Dambi Me Tarasa, that saw blood when she was tar, as I mentioned to you, it needs to be that she was ritually pure when this period began, because then there's a possibility that she had relations with her husband, and she has this issue that if she were to release some of this, the male seed, that it would cause a disruption of the 7 clean days. So tzricha limna, she needs to count chamisha yamim, 5 days im yom zeh, this day included. So it's not an additional 5 days; it's included in those 5 days. Tana yemaria, the day that she saw, void arba yamim, another 4 days before she starts the 7 clean days. Bafilu rasa b'sayf hayayim, even if she saw at the end of the day. So la'achar shehispalalu hakol, and even though the congregation already davened Ma'ariv, so therefore they sort of made it night already. Vegam he and she also davened Ma'ariv Arvis, like Kiblu Shabbos, or accepted the Shabbos, in Madain, Hu Yom, if it's still day, Ayelallah Yom Zelaminyan, so it goes into the counting of the 5. And I mentioned to you that really it's 72 hours, but in order to make things simple, they made it into 5 days, and therefore, as long as it's even partially one of those days, then that'll be enough, because the bottom line is you're definitely going to have plenty more than 72 hours. V'yom ha'chamishi, on day number 5, lays erev, towards the evening, kaidim ben ashmashes. Now, this is very important. It has to be before shki, it has to be before sunset, because if it's already sunset, then the 7 clean days will have started already, and they can't start until you ascertain that her period has stopped. So, tivdak atzma heitiv, she should check herself well, And she should wash herself at least the area around the vagina in order that to make sure that there's no residual blood, because if she's going to find it during the 7 clean days, it's going to be an issue that maybe it came during the 7 clean days and it's going to cause problems. Batilvash kasinus lavona nakia, and she should wear a white clothing. Now, in today's days, because underwear is a tight garment, so therefore we say that that's really all she needs, because any blood that would come out would be caught on the underwear. Some have a custom to wear a white nightgown or to sleep on white sheets. That's a good thing if people do that, but the main thing is white underwear. Vagam b'shar b'godel yu nakiyim d'kitzer, as at least saying that other clothing should be white as well. And as I mentioned, today's day, that the underwear is tight, it's not really as much of a concern. And this is called the Hefsek Tara. Now, let's stress very clearly what this is, because it sort of gets mixed in with everything else the kids are saying. The most important part of beginning a Shiva Nakim, a 7 clean days, is that the woman should do a bedika, should do an internal examination known as a Hefsek Tara. Now, what is an internal examination? Internal examination means that she takes a cloth, a white cloth. It should be soft. It should be able to absorb. And she puts it around her finger, and she puts it inside the vagina as far as she could go. She should do it gently, not to hurt herself. But as long as she gets somewhat in, but she should do as much as she could without hurting herself, and she should press towards the sides, because that's where any residual blood would be, and she removes it, and that's a way of ascertaining that her period has stopped. That's called a bedika, and that needs to be done in order to begin the 7 clean days. And at night as well, she should put a white sheet, and again, we mentioned that many people do not do this because they rely on the underwear. And he says the blankets should be clean. Now, he doesn't say that they should be white. And what he's trying to say is, again, that she should make sure that she doesn't have any stains left from when she was menstruating on her bed, because then she's going to have to start answering questions. That, well, why is it there? Maybe it came now. Now, this is all taking place on day number 5, because, again, day number 5 is the day before we want the 7 clean days to begin. The 7th clean days have to be 7 complete days, starting from sunset. So, therefore, she does this internal examination, and she puts on this white before it becomes night, in order that when it becomes night, she knows already very clearly that she has stopped, her period has stopped, and therefore she could begin the 7 clean days. And we have a machras, maschil lispar shivanakim, and from that evening, after sunset, the 7 clean days start. Ve'enchilik ben riyam merubah lirim mu'etes, makes no difference how long or intense the period was. Shafil l'ros el tipus achas, even if it was only one droplet, oishin nimtza rakesim bimei taraso, or it was just simply one stain, and it was ritually impure. She must always wait the 5 days if she was halachically prevented to her husband. And even if she did see blood the entire 5 days, but as long as before day 6 began, she was able to get a clean internal examination, a bedik it's called, that's fine. As long as before day 6, before that day that she wants to start the 7 clean days comes, she ascertains that she is not seeing her period anymore with a bedika, with a proper internal examination, then it is fine. Siv beis, b'shasat chak. In a situation of difficulty, kagoyin shi badar, so she's traveling. Ve'en l'mayim klal, she cannot wash herself. Fil l'rchatz panel shalmata, einam akim. It doesn't hold her back. Why? So many people have a misconception about what this washing is all about. The washing is there because to make a woman's life easier. That if she's going to find a stain on her body during the 7 clean days, she's going to have to deal with the question of when it came. Now, halachically, it might be okay. But in order to avoid this whole thing, then the custom was for her to wash herself and to clean herself to make sure that she doesn't have any residual blood. So therefore, if she can't wash herself, it's not the end of the world, because it doesn't really hold back her counting the 7 clean days. But let her wipe herself as much as possible, so at least she should avoid any questions. So he says, if a person is in a bad predicament, can they use urine to clean themselves? Shaper them, he says, why not? Because again, anything that cleans off the blood is fine. And because again, the whole cleaning is just to reduce the amount of questions, but it itself is not an obligation. It's more of a custom. If she does not have white clothing, so again, she could wear something that's not white anymore. The main thing is it should not have any stains on it. So therefore, she would be able to tell if something happened during the time of the nidus. Let's continue with Sif Gimel. Yash Armim. Some are of the opinion. Dim hispalu akal arvis. Now we know in many areas of halacha, especially when it comes to Shabbos and Yontif, we're able to sort of bring in the day earlier, right? People make early Shabbos. You could bring in Yontif also early. So the question here is, if by doing so, does it make it like the next day already that she can't do the hefsek anymore? Because we know that the hefsek tara, the internal examination that's done before the onset of the 7 clean days, needs to be done before it's considered night. So if, as far as Shabbos is concerned, as far as other halachas are concerned, we already made it night, does that make it into a problem? So the Kitzer cites an opinion, yes, I remember, there are those that say, the Mespalo call Arvis, that is the congregation, Davin Mayriv, Afal Pisha Oda Yom Gadol, even though it's still a number of hours left of the day, Ani Yechela Oda Hafsik Batara, she can't do this internal examination, that in order to count for the next following day, that by accepting, by davening Ma'ariv, they're sort of stating that it's night already, and therefore she can't do the hefsek now because it's already considered like the next day. This is an opinion, a first opinion that the Kitzer brings. And some say the mutaris, that's permitted. Why? Because the concept is, and this is really the stronger argument, which is even though, as far as Shabbos and other things are concerned, you could bring it in early, but it doesn't make it physically night yet, and therefore the 7 clean days have to do with it actually being night, physically, the sun actually setting, and since it didn't happen yet, it's okay. And therefore she could do the hefsek. Even if they made it into Shabbos, so says the Kitzur, what should you do? So since the main opinion is that it's really okay, but there is this opinion that says he shouldn't do it. So therefore, in best case scenario, you should avoid it. And if it happened already, if it came got late already, then she could definitely still do the hafsik. As long as it's not after sunset, in that in-between zone, where between sunset and 3 stars come out, which is sort of in between night and day, so as long as it's clearly out before that time, then she could definitely still do the hefsek. Aval, however, in gam he is spal arvis, but if she also davened ma'ariv already, when we call shekin kishadika near Shabbos or Yontif, or she lit candles already, aval pishad ashadan hiyam gadol, even though there's still a long time left of the day, and yichal adl hafsek betara, she could not do this internal examination. So basically, he's making some sort of a compromise and saying, look, if she herself davened Ma'ariv and accepted Shabbos, then that's too much already. You can't say that for her it's Shabbos, but she could still do the internal examination. But if everyone else accepted Shabbos, then she could still do it. That's what he says. Now continues the Kitzur, B'kayetz, Asher B'harbi, Kehillis, Mespalin, Arvis, B'yam Gadol. Now in the summer when many people make an early Shabbos, She'itzrich l'chachil hafzik b'tar kodim l'chein, k'ma shekasavnu, and therefore she needs to, l'chachilah, meaning it's proper for her to make the bedikah beforehand to avoid the whole question. So the question becomes, okay, but she made it very early. So does she do it again? Azai kishagia samach l'ben ashmashas, if it becomes close to the time of sunset, yesh lo livdoik es atzma oida pam, it would be a good idea for her to check herself again. Because the main time of the Hefsek Tara is as close to sunset as possible. Now, the Kitzur over here is going through very quickly a number of important points. First of all, when is the proper time to do the Hefsek? So, the answer is that really, even if she did it in the morning, as long as the period didn't just come that day, so it sort of makes sense that the period should be ending soon. And even if she did it in the morning, and the morning was clean, even if she didn't do it later in the day, then b'di'eved, meaning after the fact, it's okay. But l'chatchila, we don't like to do that. So the time l'chatchila, the best time to do it would be from plag ha-mincha, which is an hour or two before sunset, until closer to sunset, say around a half hour. That's the most opportune time. Now, so the question here becomes that she had to do it early because people making early Shabbos, does she have to do it again? So the Kitzur says she should do it again. Many contemporary rabbis don't suggest it, and the reason is because many women, when they do too many bedikas, they do too many internal examinations, it causes them to hurt themselves and to see some sort of blood from irritation, and that blood is really not a problem, but once you get it on a bedikah cloth, it's going to create issues. So because really the early bedikah is really kosher, then it's not so recommended to do this idea of doing it twice. She could, but it might not be so recommended. Now again, the main time of doing the Hefsek Tara is as close to sunset as possible, or at least from Plag HaMincha, which is an hour or two before sunset. But as the Kitzur continues, ubedi evet, after the fact, or in this difficult situation, in lebadkas atzma shenis, she didn't do it a second time, in lehakvid, it's not a problem, afilu lebadkas atzma el shachers, even if a woman only checked herself in the morning, umatza tahira, and she found herself to be clean, as long as it wasn't a one-day period, meaning it started at least the day before, so it's logical that it's ending, ubedi evet sake bekach, it would definitely be enough. And this is especially true with a woman who, let's say, for the last day or so, she wasn't clean, but her period sort of really ended. So then, if she checks earlier, there's a good reason to say, well, we see already that her period's ending, so we're not as concerned that it's going to start up again. But the bottom line is that the best time to do a hefsek, to do this bedikah, is as close to sunset as possible, but she should give herself enough time not to go past sunset, because that's already getting involved with the next day. So she should do it definitely clear of Shkia, definitely clear of sunset, but from Plag HaMincha, from close to sunset, an hour or two as possible. And b'di'eved, in time of necessity, then she could do it even from the morning. Let's continue with Sif Dalet. So he says, a person should teach in their house to be extra careful. Now, this is a line taken from the Shulchan Aruch, and the way the Aruch HaShulchan, a very important work on Halacha, explains is that this discussion that we're going to have now is something that it's more of a Chumras B'nai Yisrael. It's a stringency that the Jewish women took upon themselves. It's not necessarily a strict Halacha requirement, but it's a prevalent and strong custom. That in addition to making the regular Hefsek, to making the regular internal examination, they should leave a Bedikah cloth inside of the vagina, and let it remain there for the period of Bein Hashmashes. That's the period of time between sunset and when three stars come out. And there's different ways of calculating it, but the most accepted, not the most accepted way, but a prevalent way that's done in America is based on how the sun is, the time it takes for the sun to set in this area of the world. So it's around 45 or 50 minutes, that during that period of time, from sunset for 45 to 50 minutes, if the woman's able to, she should leave a bedikah cloth inside of isomachum, inside of the vagina, in order that if there's any last-minute bleeding before the onset of the seven clean days, then the bedikah cloth would catch that bleeding. Shebedikah zoom might see a media call suffix that takes her out of any question. Now, again, the concept is before Shkia, before sunset, she does the Hefsek Tara, she does the internal examination. At sunset, she leaves in a cloth preferably for the duration of the Spanish martyrs period, which is around 45 to 50 minutes. Now, for many women, this is impractical because they have dryness and they can't leave it in there for so long, so they could do it for less than that. Some women in general have an issue with it, especially after childbirth or other reasons. It definitely shouldn't be done if in the case of irritation, but if a woman could do it, it's a very strong custom. Yesh makaymus. Now again, there are places that had a very interesting custom. This is a custom that I have not heard of this custom, but this is a custom that the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch is telling us about. She'im zman levishas levanim hu b'Shabbos. That if the time of putting on the white clothing is on Shabbos, or b'yantif, or on a holiday, doichin ad l'achakach. So they push it off, which is interesting, because we know that it's a mitzvah for a woman to become ritually pure as soon as possible, you know, for herself, for her husband, but they would push it off. Why? Because they had a problem. Apparently there were issues that women were ignorant, and they would maybe heat up water or wash themselves in ways that are an issue halachically on Shabbos. Because they're not careful, they don't know how to be careful with the provision of washing themselves. They're really washing a person's self on Shabbos is really most of the body. So if they only do a part of the body, definitely just that area, it's not going to be a problem. The iser shechita and the prohibition of squeezing the hairs. So again, if she just pats herself dry, it also wouldn't be a problem. But this was the custom. So says the Kitzur, but makom shenu again lahakel, that in a place that they don't have this custom, so again, this is a custom that has sort of a reasoning to it, so if that's the prevalent custom, then you should keep it, but as far as I know, it's not the prevalent custom, so therefore you could be lenient, as the Kitzur says, but what should you do? If you use cold water, you don't run into the whole issue of washing yourself. Says the Kitzur, that on Shabbos, a person is allowed to wash their entire body with cold water. So therefore, if she wants to wash her whole body, and she wants to use cool water, she's allowed to. But if it's warm water, now obviously she cannot necessarily turn on the faucet if it's going to cause the boiler to go on, but she could take it from an urn, and she has to do it the proper way when she mixes it with other waters. She should put it in a kli shlishi, in a third vessel. But once, after doing all that, but once she has obtained water that she's, you know, that she could use on Shabbos, so she shouldn't wash her whole body with it with warm water, but only the vaginal area, between the legs, that's what she should do. Now the point that I mentioned before, that obviously she can't heat the water on Shabbos, so it should have been heated up from before Shabbos, or by Yantav, and before Yantav. She needs to be careful about squeezing out the hairs. And also the clothing. So, basic problem, if she's going to use some sort of cloth to clean herself and she's going to squeeze it out, that's a problem. So she should just use her hand. The hand doesn't absorb. If you're washing yourself, so he recommends not washing at all. But she just wipe herself to make sure she's clean. Now the Kitzur says, why is he permitting relying on wiping as opposed to washing? He says because he had mentioned before that in a situation of necessity, she doesn't have to wash, she could just wipe. I believe there are those that say that on Yom Kippur, if she's actually dirty, actually soiled, then she would be allowed to wash herself, only specifically the area that's soiled. Okay, Vatilbush Ksainas Lavana, and she should wear the white clothing that I mentioned. Ubatishabov. Now, we ran into a new problem. So far we dealt with the issue of Shabbos. That Shabbos, you can't heat up water, you can't squeeze, so he says the way you do it is you use water that was heated up already, or you use cold water, and you only do that area, you don't do the whole body. That issue was taken care of. Now what about during the Tisha B'Av, or the 9 days, or if she was unfortunately mourning, where she's not supposed to wash herself, and she's also not supposed to put on freshly laundered clothing. So what does he tell us to do? But Tisha B'Av, on the 9th of Av, V'chein b'shiv yimei evlo, and if she's sitting shiva, gam kin le'sirchay, she shouldn't wash herself, rak she'tekaneach, she just wipe, v'gam k'senes levona le'silbash, she shouldn't wear a new white garment, rak k'senes yishana shibaduka shein le'kesvedam, but she should wear a garment that's just clean from k'samim, from stains. Aval achar shiva, but after 7 days, afal pisha asura b'rachitza kol shloshim, even though during after the Shiva period, there's still the period of Shloshim, because Mokom Yechel Lirchetz Ksas, she could wash herself a little bit, the Tzarech Levishos Levanim, in order to put on the white. Vatuchel Lubash Kesenes Levanim, then she could wear white clothing. Now, we mentioned that in today's days, the most important white garment that's put on is a white pair of underwear. Now, that shouldn't really be such a problem when a woman's sitting Shiva or doing Tisha B'Av, because according to many opinions, undergarments are what's called a Beged Shel Zeyah, because they just absorb the sweat, so therefore it will be permitted to wear them during the 9 days on Tisha B'Av or during Avilah, so during a time of mourning. Sif Vav. B'chosh Yom Yishivus Me'asfir. Now, on each day of the 7 days of the clean days, she should preferably do two internal examinations. Achas Shachras, one in the morning, v'achas Samachol ben Hashmoshes, and one towards the evening. Even if she only checked herself in the entire 7 days, once on day one, and once on day seven, one could be lenient that it's enough. V'dafka b'yom rishon b'yom shvi, but it has to be that it's day one and day seven. Aval im bodka yom rishon v'yom shmini, but if she checked on day one and day eight, ein la yom shmini b'lovan, she can't go back retroactively, and she only has the eighth day. V'tzuch l'haysev aishish yom, she has to count another 6 days. Now, I would like to stress that from all the things we mentioned, the most important aspects of counting the seven clean days is the hefzik tar, is that internal examination before you can start counting the seven clean days, and that during the seven clean days, there needs to be internal examinations, and most importantly, one on day one and one on day seven. And that is to make sure that the seven clean days are actually clean, and that's how we fulfill what the Torah says, that it should be clean. Now, preferably a woman should check herself every day twice, once in the morning, once at night, and it should be an actual internal examination. It should actually go inside the vagina, not just on the outside. It's very problematic if it doesn't really go in, and that's what needs to be done. Now, the Nadi Behuda, who we mentioned many times, he was asked the question about a woman who, if she does too many bedikas, too many internal examinations, it could cause, you know, some sort of rubbing or so, that could cause her to bleed a little bit or pain. And he said that as long as she does one on day one and one on day seven, it's enough. So that's an important thing to keep in mind. Those are the two most important bedikas, besides for the hefsek, besides for the one before she begins the seven clean days. Now, there is another point that the Nadi Behuda mentions, which is that this idea of one bedikah on day one and one bedikah on day seven, the concept behind it is that 5 days shouldn't go without a woman doing a bedikah in order to keep the status of seven clean days. So what this means is that if a woman did a bedikah on day one and then she forgot to do on day seven, then she's going to have an issue because it went 5 days without doing a bedikah. Now, there is an opinion that says one bedikah during the entire seven clean days is enough. That's a discussion among rabbinic authorities when it could be used and when it could be not. So if a woman did only do one bedikah during the entire 7 days, she'd definitely ask a competent rabbi. But the point is that there's a very simple way for a woman to avoid such questions, which is, say you have a woman who it's too difficult for her to do two bedikahs every day. It's going to cause irritation. So she wants to do only one and seven. One on day one, one on day seven. If she does one in the middle, say on day three, then even if she should forget on day seven to do a bedikah, if she would do one on day eight, it would still be less than 5 days from day three. So therefore, she would just lose a day, but she would still be able to have a proper seven clean days with the bedikahs on each end. And even though it's actually going to come out to be 8 days, but since you have one on day one, one on day eight, and one on day three, that's going to bring it all together. That's going to qualify to be seven clean days. So again, the bottom line is one bedikah on day one and one on day seven. That's very, very important. And it's a good idea to do an extra one in the middle, if you could, because that's going to help it, that if a mistake is made at the end, that you'll be able to correct it. And this is all in a case of necessity. But as a general practice, a woman should do two bedikas each day of the seven clean days, one in the morning and one in the evening. We do not generally do bedikas at night because, according to the opinion of many Rishonim, Sfiras Laila is not Sfira. The counting of the seven clean days needs to be done during daylight hours. Therefore, the bedikah needs to be done during daylight hours. Let's see. Sif Zion. Kol b'digos elu. Now all these internal examinations, bein b'hefsek tara, whether it's the hefsek tara, the one before the onset of the 7 days, which establishes that her period has ended, bein b'shivei yimei nikim, or the actual 7 clean days, srichas liyais, they should be b'beget pishton, with a linen cloth, lavan, yashan, white, and old. The idea of old means to say soft, oy b'tzemer gefen, or katan, oy b'tzemer lavan, noki v'rach, or very soft wool. Now, there's a discussion, let's say if a woman doesn't have these things, can she use a tissue or a napkin? And the basic idea is that if it won't shred, if she'll be able to get it in and out whole, then it would be okay, as long as she could get it into the crevices. And let's continue. V'tachnisei ba'oimek. Now when she does this bedika, she should go as deep as possible. She shouldn't hurt herself, but how much she could easily do. Ba'oimek, inside, l'chayinu stokin. Now, there's a discussion about these chayinu stokin, which literally means cracks and crevices, but it's really referring to the ridges that are in the wall of the vagina, that she shouldn't just simply put it in and out, but she should try to press against one of the walls. There's a very interesting response from one of the great Ga'inim, from the great geniuses of pre-world Europe, the David Karliner, and he wants to say that the idea of touching one of the walls, Chayinu Zdokin, that's mentioned here, is that if a woman is bleeding, even though she doesn't bleed every second, but you'll always find residual blood in the cracks and crevices. So by checking at least one of the cracks and crevices, you'll be able to ascertain whether her period has stopped or not. It should go until as deep as during relations it goes, but again, this is not usually always possible, and the main thing is just to go as much as you could go without hurting yourself. I've heard from some rabbanim that it should go at least till the first knuckle, but that's again the minimum, hopefully go a little bit deeper, but again, she should be very careful not to hurt herself. She should make sure it doesn't have any red in it, and obviously, if she has any questions, she should ask a rabbi, because many times women think that something is a problem and it's not, and vice versa. And obviously, you need the right rabbi, the one who has the right sensitivities to your needs, and who's professional. But when a person does have a good rabbi, it can be very helpful in getting through these situations. If she can't go so deep in, tivdak alkol ponim, at least kifi koicha, what she could have, shari, as much as possible. He said it's a good idea, at least sometime during the Shiva Nikim, it should actually go in a little bit deep, but again, it's only if it's possible. He should teach them, because unfortunately, there were those that didn't know about it, so they thought that you just count 7 days and go to the mikvah, but they're missing a very, very important component, which is doing these internal examinations, because many don't know about it. And aversions. So there's an interesting problem over here. They have a hymen, they have a psulim, so they can't really go too deep inside, right? So they should go as far as they could go in easily, and that's all that they have to do. Sivchas. The bedikah should be checked in daylight, and not with a candlelight, because it might not show up so well. Today we have stronger lights that may be helpful. It is important to know that different types of lights, incandescent bulbs and fluorescent lights, could actually make things look differently, so it's always a good idea to check it in daylight if the bedikah is at night, so let her save it till the next morning, and check it again in the morning. There were that had an opinion that said that if you checked it by candlelight, it might be a problem. If you don't check it in daylight, from my experience, usually the incandescent bulbs make things look worse, not better. So then that wouldn't be as much of an issue, but it's a good idea to at least check it in daylight. That at least one of the bedikas on day 1 and day 7 should be checked in daylight to know for sure that she was clean. Sif test. What happens if she found a stain during the 7 clean days? Or even if she saw actual blood, she could do a hefsik, she could do that internal examination to ascertain that her period or the bleeding has stopped, and right immediately following that, she could start her 7 clean days from that night. As long as she stopped seeing this blood before sunset, and she could begin her 7 nikiyim, her 7 clean days from that night. Now, and the following day, she should do her first bedika, her internal examination of the 7 nikiyim. Now, the point over here is, as we mentioned before, that since the stain happened during the 7 clean days, and she was already not ritually pure, so there's no concern that she had relations with her husband, and that seed, male seed, would cause a problem of interrupting the 7 clean days. So therefore, she could immediately begin the 7 clean days right when the bleeding stopped. Sif yod. V'chein kala. Now, obviously a bride, she has not had relations. Shiras adam kaitim nesuin. She bled before the marriage. Meim tamtim chamisha yomim. If she's going to wait the 5 days, yeh yom nesuin kaitim zman tvilasa, it's not going to work out with the day of the wedding. It's going to come out afterwards. V'kasha laludchas yom nesuin. And you can't exactly push off the day of the wedding. Hazaituch alahafsik betara. Miyad b'yom shepaska. Again, she could right away do a hafsik, right away do the examination to know that her period has stopped, kaitim in hashmashas, before sunset, polis b'ri machras, shim nekim, and right away, the following day, begin the 7 clean days, kadesh atuch, l'tbol kodim ha-chuppah, in order that she should be able to go to the mikvah before the chuppah, v'zeh odif, tzei milasas ha-chuppah ba'idanida, and he says that's a better option than her going into the marriage, into the chuppah, in the status of a nidah.